Division, units 3 and 4 maintain coverage of Sector 7. Copy that.
Listen now, Mr. Kansas Law Dog. Law don't go around here. Savvy?
Blood's been spilled to afford at this moment. Now.
Get them up and move them out, boys. Move them out, boys.
Come with the territory. Ask any cop, he'll tell you. If you can't stand the heat, you better stay out of the kitchen.
I wish I was a kindergarten teacher, but I'm not. I'm a cop. That's all I know how to be.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Supernatural Christian Podcast with your host, Bruce B. Len.
Guys, thanks for joining us again tonight. This is Jacob Ruhutsky. I'm here with Bruce Beelen. And Bruce, tell everybody what the topic's about tonight, and let's get this party rolling.
You know, I, because of a lot of things that are going on in this world and a lot of people that I deal with, and there's a lot of discouragement and there's a lot of finger pointing and should I, could I, would I, maybe I should have. I just want to talk tonight for just a little while about never, ever giving up.
That's excellent. I think that's a great topic, and I think we should stick to it and not give up tonight.
Okay, I'll stick to the topic maybe, but I want to start out with this story. And Jake, as I was thinking about getting with you tonight, I was thinking about all the time I spent in the parsonage when I was growing up with my dad, a pastor, my mom, a preacher, my uncle, a preacher. And some of the things that I remember the most about that are the stories that they would tell, you know, to make a point. And when I was thinking about that, I wanted to bring this story up. And I got out of the military about 1984. I think it was July, August, September, somewhere in there in 84. Went to college and got bored pretty quick, like most stuff, and began to apply at different police departments, and was picked up down in Camden, Arkansas, at Camden Police Department. And a friend of mine, Mike Palladino, picked me up down there and gave me a start in civilian police work. Well, I was, you know, going. I went through the academy, and it was that fall of 85 then, and I had always loved anything to do with the West, and I still do. You know, I still love Westerns. I try to do cowboy action shooting. I read a lot about the West. I read about actual history and lawmen, you know, back in those days. Well, I got my, I put in my prescription to Police Magazine, okay, which I think is still out there. I think it's in digital format now, mostly. But I got my copy. It's like that fall, I believe it was, of 85. And on the cover was this guy. And he was sitting there. He had on a brown hat. Standing there. He's got a brown hat. He's got a lever-action rifle. Cowboy wearing his gun. Low slung, it was Browning High Power, I think, and he had a lever action Marlin, I think it was, maybe a Winchester. And it just struck me, this guy, and so I just started doing research on him. His name was Johnny France. And Johnny, that year, had been part of a very, very highly publicized case that honestly is. It's been made into a movie. It's been made into a book. But Johnny France was the sheriff back in those days of a place called Madison County, Montana, about 5,000 people in the whole county, very, very rural, very mountainous. people come there to train, people come there to run, people come there to hunt. And this lady by the name of Katie Swenson, she was a biathlete. She, in biathlons, what they do is they ski and then they stop and shoot 22 rifles at targets. So they have to be in excellent condition to ski and then stop and have their heart rate low enough that they could actually hit these targets. And she was a world-class athlete. And she was training up there. And I think she had actually moved up there for the summer to train. And so she is up one day in the mountains running. She's by herself. She's running. And this father, Don Nichols, who was about 53, I think, about that point, and his son, Dan, kidnapped her to be their woman because they were mountain men. They lived up there in the mountains, you know, away from everybody, lived on deer, squirrel, berries. And they kidnapped her to take her out there to be their wife slash girlfriend, whatever, okay? And so they have her tied up. They are dragging her through there. They spend the night out there in the mountains. And they've sent out a search party the next day. And one of the searchers finds the Carrie with them. And she's chained up, of course. And there's a gunfight ensues. And this young man, the one of the searchers, is killed. And Carrie is actually hit with a bullet in the stomach. And they leave her there, okay, and then they flee, and this Johnny France was the sheriff, and they found, of course, they got her, found her, brought her down, and he began a search for these two mountain men. And this is where it really gets to the topic tonight. They brought in, the neighboring county was more of a, what I would call a urban county. They had access to way more people, way more stuff. They brought in helicopters with heat-seeking, down-looking radar. They brought in all these searchers from all over the place, troops, and they scoured the hills and looked and looked and looked for these two suspects. Never even got close. Never found them. Rumors were they'd gone to Canada. Rumors were they had left. Rumors they were they'd built. But Johnny France, this rural sheriff, he refused to believe that. He continued to search for those guys. Of course, this was in, I believe, in July. It turns into fall, then it turns into winter. 5 months later, he is still looking for these guys. In the snow, he's running down every lead. Everyone else has left. All the other searchers have left. Of course, he has his staff of four or five. And by the way, that county is about the size of Connecticut. It is a huge, huge county. And in landmass, not in people, it's only 5,000 people. But he then was able to find those guys with some help. Somebody had seen a fire or something and they'd called it in, and he thought, you know, I'm going to follow up on this. And he single-handedly took them into custody, brought them in. They were tried and convicted, and that's another story. But the only reason he was able to do that was because he refused to give up. People were telling him. I've literally read the magazine articles. I've read the newspaper articles. I reread them getting ready for tonight, the magazine articles. The New York Times. And literally, people were telling him, so they're frozen to death. There's no way they're still up there. But he continued to doggedly do what he was supposed to do. Then the interesting turn to the story then is he went to the White House. He was, you know, congratulated by the president then, Ronald Reagan. He was they used him as the grand marshal of parades all over the West. He got a book deal, which I have. I've got the book in my hand right now called Incident Big Sky. They made a movie. There was all kind of things that happened behind that. And you would think, Jake, well, you know what? Then he lived happily ever after. Well, the next election, immediately after this, he was voted out as sheriff. Because the sentiment was is he had grandstanded, he had done this, and you know, he had milked this for all he could get it. So I admired him greatly on several levels. One of them is he refused to give up. Another, that he's a Western lawman that wouldn't stop. But then there's that little twist, that little sour place on the end that lets me realize that, you know, people are not always going to pat you on the back and say, yeah, even when you're successful in doing what you wanted to do, what you felt like you were supposed to do, you don't always get those accolades.
Right. Well, and he was doing it for the right reason, too. He wasn't doing it for fame or fortune or any of that stuff. He was just out there doing what he knew to do, trying to do the best he could.
Another twist off of this same story, which I found out about this totally by accident. Have you ever heard of the movie The Horse Whisperer and the book and everything about The Horse Whisperer?
Yeah. Yes, I've heard of that.
Okay, well, that's a story or a book of which I have not seen the movie or read the book. But it's essentially it's about a guy who has a way with horses that is totally, it's not to get on there and ride them down and, you know, and hit them in the head and it'll make them obey. It's a cooperation with the horses. The guy that did that, his name is Buck Brannaman. He's the real horse whisperer that then the book was written about. He was not in the movie, of course. And then they made another movie called Buck about him. And so I was just, for some reason, in doing my research, I don't know, a couple of years ago about this again, I saw that Buck was a foster child. And that he was from Madison County, Montana. And I thought, what are the chances of that? And I began to look into it, and guess who the sheriff was that took Buck into his home until he could get a foster family and actually served as a foster parent for this child when he was taken from his parents. It was the same guy that was voted out. The same guy that was maligned by the press on one side and adored on the other side. This is the same guy. So, I mean, that's the way these stories work. I mean, when you look in the Bible, we look at, and of course, one of my go-tos is David. I mean, David had obviously was a very human man. He had flaws. He had great things going on. He had some things not so hot. But as I begin to think about that again, and I've spoken on this many times, but David was, the prophet showed up and he was minimized by his father. He was minimized. Then he was criticized when he showed up at the giant, the place where he ended up killing Goliath. He was criticized by his brother. Then when he is a success, then he is pursued and persecuted by the very person that he has been a success for, is Paul. As he's running from Paul, from Saul, while he's living in caves, while he's got these outcasts gathered around him, he loses everything at a place called Ziklag, where the Midianites came and took everything he had. But he kept pursuing what he knew he was supposed to do. Later on, after he became king, he was conspired on, or they conspired against him, was his own son, Absalom. So throughout his life, he had challenge after challenge after challenge. He had thing that he had to, but what you see in the life of David, yes, he wrote some great psalms about, and nobody can sing the blues until you've been through the problem. But honestly, you know, when I look at it, Jake, he would not quit. He would not quit. And I just think that the way things are going, the way things people perceive that, you know, our country's going, the way people perceive that, I think there's this kind of a spirit out there that says, well, we might as well just give up. Let's just give up, you know. And here's the deal. I know in my career as a criminal investigator, you can't get anywhere if you don't shake the trees. And that's what my old Woodrow Ligon was, my original mentor in criminal investigation. And I call it the Woodrow Ligon School of Investigation. And we probably won't get too deep into that. But the point being is, he would always come in here and I'd say, well, I don't know what I can do. He said, what have you done? Well, I've read the bill. He said, have you contacted the victims? Has anything changed? Have you followed up? Have you gone out and see if there's any fingerprints? And what it takes is that pursuit, that being faithful to continue to do what you know to do, and don't let anything keep you from doing that. And when you do that, when you shake those trees, something falls out. I mean, it's just the dynamics of the way things work. But sometimes we're very tempted, you know, to give up. Another great story that has been made popular again recently, I think it was in 2019, Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, they made The Highwayman. And it was for Netflix, and I've not watched it much. I've only watched it about 10 times. But it's a story of Frank Hammer and Manny Gault chasing Bonnie and Clyde. And have you got to see that, Jake?
Yeah, I've seen it once through. I haven't seen it more than once at this point, but I probably could stand to watch it again. It was pretty good.
I think I assigned you to watch that several times, but I don't think you did what I asked you to do.
I watched it once, and I've watched 21 Days Under the Sun almost once. So
yeah, I don't think you're following your assignments. Anyway, the point being is that Bonnie and Clyde, the original movie that I saw about Bonnie and Clyde, was kind of glorifying them and kind of minimizing the lawmen. But when you look at the story of Bonnie and Clyde and the 1930s and what everything that they, you know, had done and the lawmen that they'd killed and the things that had happened, then Frank Hammer and Manny Gault, they were Texas Rangers, and they were reinstated not as Texas Rangers but as highwaymen, as highway patrol, we'd call them now, and for Texas. And of course they wouldn't stop at the movie shows this, and I think history will show this, because they would end up finding them in Louisiana. So they wouldn't let state lines stop them. They wouldn't let uncomfortableness. They climbed all over or rode all over these back roads looking and interviewing and trying to figure out where these people were. But they wouldn't quit. It took months and months and months of nonstop work. And here's the deal. That's what it takes sometimes to get where we need to go, whether it's a criminal case,
right,
whether it's dealing with our health or dealing with a spiritual problem or whatever it is. It says 2 Timothy 2:10 says, endure all things. Endure all things. Galatians 6:9 says, don't be weary in well doing. James 1 says, be steadfast. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your heart. And I think that we are looking for the easy way out many times. Myself, and this may be 100% for me, Jake, I may have to play this back 3 or 4 times and listen to myself, but I think many times we are looking for the easy way out. And God, I believe, is looking for some Davids, some people who refuse, some Pauls who just endured everything, you know, snake bite, shipwreck. It just seemed like it would never stop there for a while during his story. Jail, you know. I think we want it to be easy. And many times it is not.
Uh-huh. Well,
what are you doing? Playing pinball there in the background?
No, sorry, I was on the computer here, and I apologize, guys, if you heard my keys are clicking away.
You're fiddling.
I am not fiddling. It's actually podcast related stuff that I'm doing while we're talking here, but I should probably wait till after the show to do that stuff.
I'm just dogging you.
So I'm just not interrupting in the middle. Yeah, I mean, when we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat back in the Bible in the Babylonian Empire, you know, they could have chosen the easy way. And, you know, honestly, God probably would have forgiven them. They probably would have made it out just fine. They could have repented. But you know what? They chose the hard way, man. And by choosing the hard way, it made a major statement. God backed them up. And it was just a phenomenal testimony, a phenomenal story. So there's an example right there where someone could have chosen the easy way, and I'm sure they were tempted to. I mean, let's face it, it's not very appealing being cast into a fiery furnace. I mean, at least by my estimation, there might be somebody that'd be like, okay, this sounds fun, but there might be a screw loose there if that's the case. But, I mean, they had the opportunity to bow out. All they would have had to do was bow to the thing, and they could have repented. And like, God, you know, we didn't love our lives. You know, we loved our lives unto death. But they decided to take the stand. And, sometimes the hard way is, it's a difficult road, but the fruit that can be gained there, I think, is substantial.
Yeah, you know, and using the analogy between the mountain and the valley, you know, the mountain being when we're up and, you know, everything's good and we could see and everything's good. But it's in the valley where that big fruit's grown. It's in the valley. It's not on the mountain. And there's a lot of valleys in between those mountains. And when you look at people that George Washington Carver and Edison and all those people that came up with amazing things, you know, when you look at that, then as creators, as some of them were artists, some of, you know, as scientists and inventors, they failed over and over and over. Abe Lincoln, over and over, couldn't get a job, you know, couldn't keep a job. But man, it's just amazing to me that they just kept going instead of just going sitting in the corner, you know, and pulling their cover over their head. They just kept pushing, and that's what I see in David. It's like you know, I'm going to keep going, and I want to be that way. I desire that's attractive to me. And Isaiah 40, and this is 40th chapter. He gives strength to the weary. It's verse 29. He increases the power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will, not may, not could, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that's been my scripture for, I'd say, the last 6 months, because I just want so badly to run this race he's called me to run and cross that line when it's time. And I just, you know, I don't want to stop. I don't want to drop the baton. I want to keep pushing. And that's just my desire, that everybody hear that tonight, not about me, but they would get in their heart and they would purpose in their heart that, you know what, I'm going to fight for this marriage. I'm going to fight for this health. I'm going to fight for this position. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to be the man he's called me to be, even when it doesn't look like that's the easy way. Because I think we're pretty spoiled, Jake.
Oh, I know I'm spoiled. I can tell you right now.
Oh, I ain't talking about you. I was talking about those other people.
The other people listening, some of them maybe, I suspect, but me personally, I'll just go ahead and lay it out and say I'm extremely spoiled.
Well, so, couldn't you imagine going all over Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas, and it looked like a 1930 Model A or some kind of car, you know, just or 30 Ford or whatever it was, going all around and sleeping in that thing and eating sandwiches. And I just can't imagine. But that's what it took to take down that enemy. And they were a public enemy. They were destroying people's lives.
Well, and they were running a local route, too. They're going like Oklahoma. They're going all the surrounding states and just basically doing loops.
Right.
So they had to. They were constantly behind them, and they had to get ahead of them at some point to finally catch them. But yeah, I mean, it was the Netflix film. If you guys haven't seen it, Highwaymen is absolutely incredible as far as capturing the details of that, and yeah, phenomenal story.
And you know, that's the way I want to be for the Lord. I mean, it's important that we do our jobs well, and that's important. But I want to fulfill my destiny through him and not give up because of personal opinion or, you know, I want to. I was in a position, oh, it's been a few years ago now, but I had to make some hard decisions, and I was praying and seeking God, and it's like literally this is what I felt like, that the Holy Spirit just whispered to me or just asked me this question. I said, would you want to be known for the guy that quit when things got hard, or would you rather be known as the guy who got fired for doing the right thing? And you know, I got to thinking about that, and I would much rather be fired for doing the right thing. And I don't mean being arrogant or anything like that, but in that situation, I had to pray. I said, God, you know, I want to please people. I want to, you know, but the truth is that a lot of men in the Bible, a lot of guys that we, you know, proclaim as our heroes in the Bible, they were not really well liked by a lot of people, including Jesus. He had some serious people who were against him who ended up having him killed. And, I mean, he did not compromise. He went all the way to the cross. He didn't go half the way to the cross. He didn't go two-thirds of the way to the cross. He went because he knew how important, how essential it was to my salvation and your salvation.
You know, one of my favorite guys, Bruce, was actually Zacchaeus. He's one of my heroes because he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he.
Yeah. And he wasn't afraid to climb. You know, I did a series on Zacchaeus years ago, and I think it's still out there. On if you go to what is it, cranechurch.org, and go to those sermons. They're just the audio sermons. But I did a thing. I called the sermon called "Coming Up Short," and. I mean, Zacchaeus, man, what a guy. I mean, he wants to see. He's not ashamed. He climbs a tree, you know. And the sweetest thing about that to me is that Jesus looks at him, knows his name, and says, I'm going to eat with you today. What a wonderful Savior we have. Who did not say, well, you know, he's a tax collector, he's this, he's that, he's that. No, listen, he saw him, and he saw his heart. And that's the difference between me and Jesus, because sometimes I see people, and I don't see their heart. I see what I see. I don't want to be like that, but I see what I see. But, I like the story of Zacchaeus. I'm serious, I really do. A wee little man was he.
I think one of the cool things, too, is when Jesus took him out to lunch, it was a cheap lunch because he had the regular meal, and he got Zacchaeus, like, the happy meal, you know?
Well, see, and everybody was happy.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm in a weird mood tonight. If the comedy's coming off too strong, we'll dial it back.
Well, here's the problem, Jake. I didn't know what time it was. I couldn't even figure out what time it was. I called an hour early trying to get this thing going. We couldn't figure out where you were at and why you weren't doing what you were
doing. And I was taking a nap at 8 p.m. Well, at night, which is kind of a weird time to do that. But
I don't think there's a weird time for a nap. That's why they call it a nap.
Yeah. Well, guys, this has been an interesting show. I hope you've had, hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be getting together again soon for the next episode. We're looking at getting some guests on here, talk about some different things. But Bruce, thanks for doing this again. If you want to lead us on out with prayer,
we can wrap
this bad boy up.
Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. Because, Lord, it's your grace that allows me, that compels me, that draws me to call on you. Because, Lord, without your grace, without your spirit drawing me, oh God, I'm just another redneck. And, Lord, I appreciate that. I thank you for that, God. And, Lord, I pray tonight for anybody that's listening, that's about to give up, that's about to quit, that's about to throw in the towel. Lord, I pray that you would give them the ability by your grace to wait upon you, an expectation, to stand in expectation of our deliverer, oh God, that you would infuse them, oh God, that you would fill them, that you would dye them, D-Y-E, just like baptism, Lord, dyes us, oh God, that they would, it would change the color of their life to, instead of someone who quits, or someone who stays, someone who pushes, someone who shakes the trees, someone who climbs the tree, someone who stays in the mountains, someone who continues to follow the enemy, to pursues, Lord. It says that David ran to the battle. Help us to be those men and women, God, that run to the battle, not run from the battle. And Lord, thank you again for allowing us, Lord, this platform, for allowing us, Lord, to give us a place to make a stand. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Good night.